What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul. Did you just play? Did you seriously just play Crocodile Dundee into the microphone?
Yes, sir.
I got nothing. Okay, well, oh boy.
Trying something different.
Hey, you know what? Crocodile Dundee. That's a fantastic movie, by the way. So, at any rate, moving on from that, we are here with this week's edition of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans by the fans podcast. We're coming off a week where the Suns, since our
successful week since our last
podcast, yeah, 2-2, can't get much better than that for the Suns these days. I'll spit it out eventually. Back to back wins. They were an Andrew Wiggins jumper with ridiculous defense all over his face from PJ Tucker away from going three in a row.
Jinx, you owe me a beer.
That's weird. And which, ready for a stat, would have been their first three-game win streak since November 16th, 2015. So, well, that's not really unexpected, but, still. Yeah. But at any rate, outside of the games, we've had some interesting developments in Phoenix Suns basketball this week. But initially, I think we'll start off with the improved play that we've seen over the past month and a half, whatever it might be. We just talked about them being 2-2 this week, close to being 3-1. That's weird to say, 3-1. Phoenix Suns, same sentence, that is weird.
Even that Denver game, they were in it, they were leading at certain points. They only lost by 6 points. It wasn't like it was some kind of horrendous, like, crushing by Denver.
Right, and plus you got that silly high-altitude crap up there that probably, you know, those vets... It's tough for them. The young guys, they don't come. Although they played in Mexico City, which has a higher altitude than Denver. I had no idea.
Booker apparently likes the high altitude.
I'm pretty sure I learned that from Tom Chambers. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, actually, the one thing about that Nuggets game that I really liked was it was the going into the season, you would think that the ideal would have been that Booker, Bledsoe, Warren, and Knight would be carrying the offense. And up to this point in the season, every game, you get maybe one or two of those guys, maybe three, who were actually on.
True.
This was the correct me if I'm wrong, this was the first game. This is the first game this season where all four of those guys were on offensively. You had Booker, Bledsoe, and Warren all were over 20 points. And Knight was at, I think, 17, and probably could have gotten over 20 points if he got some more minutes. But, you know,
we don't need to
Knight.
Be giving him too many minutes.
But I mean, that was the ideal going into the season, that those four guys would basically carry the offensive load for the season, and they weren't living up to that desired goal. But it was finally nice to see that potential, even in the loss. And personally, I think if Tyson Chandler hadn't thrown up a stinker, which is abnormal for him for the season, and particularly the last couple months, they might have really had a chance of actually pulling out that game and getting being 3-1 for the week.
Right. And Tyson Chandler, for the month of January, I believe 11-14, he's been averaging even with that quote unquote stinker.
He's really upping that trade value.
He certainly is, but are they going to trade him? That's a question that we'll get to in just a moment.
Teaser
indeed. You know, one thing that I think bears noting is, obviously, we've all been talking about how Booker's been coming around, how he's been playing better, how he's finally maybe coming out of that
funk,
prolonged slump that he was in. And that's obviously very, very, very positive for Phoenix Suns fans to see, the organization to see, for purposes of moving forward. But I'm not saying this guy's not getting any pub on this, but Bledsoe, I think, has been just he's been playing phenomenal.
Not getting any pub. He had a nice article on The Ringer this week.
No, I know. I said I'm not saying he's not getting any pub.
Well, he's not getting a lot. He's underrated.
Didn't you just say that he had an article, though? I'm confused.
I didn't say the article was about how he's underrated, which is what the article's about.
I feel like you lost where I'm going here.
I did.
Okay, should I back up?
Yeah.
I said that it's not like Bledsoe is not getting any pub, but...
Got it. Too many double negatives in there, I lost it. Or like quadruple negatives, I lost it.
I try to confuse people. It's,
you are a lawyer.
Sometimes it's easier to do than other times. But at any rate, Bledsoe went 4 games in a row recently, and I could have jotted down which games those were, but I didn't, where he was 25-5, 4 games in a row. Interesting point. First time since Charles Barkley that a Phoenix Sun has done that. 1993.
Wow.
That is 24 years. That is older than probably some people listening right now.
Yeah.
Younger than us.
Younger than
but
us.
But older than some people listening right now. And you know, I think Bledsoe, and we'll get into that trade talk we're going to be talking about momentarily, is a guy that earlier in the year, Paul, you said, not sure if he's on this team 3 years from now.
Yeah.
I think he's starting to work himself more and more into a, hey, we should probably have this guy on this team 3 years from now. But at the same time, in light of this loaded point guard draft class, does it swing the complete other way?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
If we get the number one pick, I mean, I'm not gonna turn away Markel Fultz.
Right. Well, there's a few guys I wouldn't turn away in that draft.
But I mean, yes, definitely. In this past month, Bledsoe and Booker have found. I feel like they've kind of found a synergy in that their skills. I mean, the team is designed to be backcourt driven from an offensive perspective, and it's been fits and starts all season, but this past month, they've really kind of figured out that rhythm of driving and Booker's hitting, like Bledsoe's driving, Booker's hitting shots. Bledsoe's vision.
Booker's driving too.
Mm-hmm. But Bledsoe's vision and like his assists have really improved over what we've seen in the last couple previous years and even earlier this season. Because, I mean, yeah, he's a point guard, but comparatively to the history of Phoenix point guards, he doesn't have the vision of the KJs, the Nashes, the kids, those guys who...
Stephon Marbury.
Well, I mean, yeah, he had better vision
than... I was joking.
I actually...
Go on.
He had better vision than Bledsoe first couple years.
Go on.
But that synergy has kind of developed. We're also seeing... Booker's getting back into the playmaking a little bit, too. His assists are up, which is nice to see, because I think he could definitely be a guy who should be able to average about 4 assists.
So let me ask you, Mr. Earl Watson's offense sucks. How do you feel about Earl Watson's offense right now, then? I'm sorry, I have to ask that question, because you're all of a sudden giving him so much credit that all these guys are getting all these assists, and I frankly feel like they're increased, but I don't know that they're... that great right now. But the offense seems
to be honest, they were missing a lot of shots those first couple of months, so you wonder how many assists there would have been there if guys are actually making shots.
You were so angry about the lack of ball movement and how the ball stuck like literally 3 weeks ago.
But honestly, it doesn't seem like it is as much anymore. Like Booker's shots are coming off.
So you love Earl Watson?
No.
What?
I don't hate him as much anymore.
Oh, okay, that's good. I'll take it. You know what? I think I'll take that. I think Earl
I'm not saying people can't improve. I never said they can't improve.
I won't make a comment about how I think I'm right now.
You always think you're right. We both always think we're right.
Anyway, so let's move on. excuse me. Ronnie Price.
Yeah, what's the point?
Ronald Price. I'm assuming Ronnie is short for Ronald.
I would hope
so. Who knows? You know, my wife thinks Larry is short for Larald. I'm not kidding. I mean that. Anyway, Ronnie Price. What's the deal? What's the deal with Ronnie Price, Paul? What do you think?
What is the deal with Ronnie Price?
No, it's more of like a, what's the deal? But yeah. Go on.
Go on. Yeah, I mean, I don't really get it either. We've got three point guards on the team as it is. We really don't need a fourth. And
One's the half point guard?
He makes the half point guard. The one who gets no assists but plays the one.
Cool, just checking. Go on.
We have 3 point guards.
He used air quotes.
On the team, and they're all getting minutes. There's literally no minutes for Ronnie Price. So I really wonder what the purpose of this signing is. It really makes me wonder if there is. It's almost foreshadowing for something else. I know we talked about a couple weeks ago, or maybe last. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago about Tucker. Watson saying Booker's improvement is due to Tucker guarding him during practice.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Price, known for his defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if this is a precursor to a Tucker trade, because Ronnie Price can replace that practice defense on Booker, and Tucker's going to go possibly to a contender or somewhere else for some potential asset.
Do you think it's more likely that the Ronnie Price thing is a foreshadowing of, and I agree with you, first of all, let me step back. I totally agree. I think we got rid of John Jenkins, what, like a month ago? Maybe less, I don't know. Time just kind of all rolls together at this point. Get rid of John Jenkins, and that roster spot just sits open and open and open. And suddenly, out of nowhere, the Suns are like, oh, hey, Ronnie Price, what's going on? Let's sign him. Sign him to a 10-day deal because, again, I agree with you, that they're looking to have one extra roster spot open. So that number of 14 that became 15 when they got him maybe is going to go back to 14, potentially, if. You know, who knows? They might get players back. But I think that it could be a precursor to either a P.J. Tucker trade or perhaps a Brandon Knight trade, because you mentioned either we've got 3 point guards. If Knight goes, then presumably someone's going to have to kind of slide into that rotation right there.
It'd be Ulis.
We don't have Mr. Jenkins anymore. It presumably would be Ulis. But I guess rotation was probably the wrong word. Practice rotation, if you will.
Right.
Someone's going to have to step in to that spot, and that will.
Well, be I mean, Price. And last year, I mean, you could make an argument that Ronnie Price's presence helped Booker when he was on his ascension, that or like his breakout that second half of the season, guarding him in practice as well. So it could help with that as well, whether it's Booker or PJ, I was just looking at it from a defensive perspective, but
sure.
You said, from the guard rotation, if you're planning to move a Knight, or I don't know if it's a blockbuster trade, a Bledsoe, the way he's playing right now, I don't know if I want to get rid of him.
But I'm not suggesting that we should. The thing that comes into my mind, though, is obviously, and I'm on the record saying before that I am a Bledsoe guy. I love Bledsoe. I am a Bledsoe supporter. I am a Bledsoe homer, dare I say, even though, you know, I'm not a Kentucky guy. That would make me a homer, you know. But I wonder if the Suns look at Bledsoe right now thinking, dude, this guy is going nuts. He's playing fantastic. But he has an injury history.
He's not.
And we went through a situation a year ago where maybe we had some value in a Brandon Knight, didn't take the opportunity to trade him, and here we are with Brandon Knight, who maybe we'll get pennies on the dollar for. Maybe.
Right.
So does that, and obviously then couple that with a presumed high draft pick, a presumed point guard heavy draft, does that mean the Suns go, well, maybe we can see what we can get in return for Eric Bledsoe? I almost said Brandon Knight.
If you're playing chess, the move is trade Bledsoe while his value's high, move Brandon Knight into that starting point guard spot.
Whoa, that's not that crazy.
Just wait. I said I'm playing chess here.
Oh, okay.
Suns get a little worse, improve their odds to get one of those top picks, get one of those top point guards. But by Brandon Knight going back into the starting lineup, improve Brandon Knight's trade value, be able to move Brandon Knight in the offseason.
Hopefully. A lot of assumptions.
The deal will be a little bit more reasonable once you get a couple years off of it. And I think mm-hmm. that, is this the second year on his deal? Yeah, it's the second mm-hmm. year on his deal. So he's down to 3 years left, and under the new cap, that's a very reasonable deal for a point guard or a guard, period. So trade Bledsoe, high value, get something back, whether it's a player, picks, something. Move Brandon Knight in the starting lineup. Suns are going to get worse. Suns fans are probably going to be loath to watch games. But improve Brandon Knight's trade value. Trade him over the summer. Draft one of those high draft pick point guards like Fultz or Bell. Boom, new season. You've got a high draft pick point guard. Booker, Warren, Chris, Bender, and pay out the nose for Len, just because that's what the market's going to ask for him.
Wow. There was a lot going on there, Paul.
You got to think 7-8
so,
moves.
So, are you saying the Suns, would you want the Suns to do that?
No, because I'm enjoying them winning.
But long term?
Long term?
Would you want the Suns, if Ryan McDonough called you tomorrow and said, hey, I can move Eric Bledsoe and get, I don't know, you get a very good return. Would you say, yeah, do it because you trust that? We trust that A, the Suns are going to get that high draft pick because it's a lottery.
Yeah, it's
and while David Stern is along the commissioner, I feel like the NBA still hates the Suns. And we have to assume that one of those point guards, assuming we get a high pick,
right,
will
be in the play position.
Out, yeah, will work out. And I think they will. Well, Fultz and Ball to me, yes.
No.
What's the dude from NC State?
I can't remember. It's something
Harris?
Like it's
Davis.
Yeah, it's something really basic.
It is so
it's
basic.
It's very generic of a name. But yeah, even.
But so, would you say? What would you say? What would you say to McD if he were to call you and ask you that question?
I mean, I need to know what the return on Bledsoe is, honestly, because I mean,
what would the return on Bledsoe have to be for you to say, yeah, let's do that?
I'd probably have to take. I'd like to see a high draft pick, maybe like a top five protected draft pick from a team, like say the Kings, who aren't expected to be top five, but expected to be in the lottery, that we could get that extra pick that we could maybe supplement whatever our high draft pick is with another high draft pick similar to what we did last year.
So would you? I wouldn't take a pick. I wouldn't take. First of all, I wouldn't want to do this.
Yeah.
I frankly don't know why I got into the subject because I don't want to do it. But
I don't really either.
but I wouldn't take if it were to happen and it was a pick. I would be livid. And you know what? I trust McDonough. He would never do that.
How about a pick and a player?
Well, then there's a player. As long as the player's all right, yeah, right. Sure, why not? So okay, well, let's move off of this.
The money's got to work.
Move off of this crazy idea of trading Eric Bledsoe that we both think maybe isn't the best thing, and I don't think
it's not,
the best thing.
Yeah, not.
It's not going to happen. I just knock on wood because I really hope that doesn't happen. I hope the Suns don't get all crazy and start overthinking things. Did the Brandon Knight thing blow up? Yes.
Yeah.
Is Isaiah Thomas a two-time All-Star now? Yes. I still don't care that he's not on the Suns, though, for the record. I really
The Lakers
don't.
Are really sucking. So the trade of the third, number three, or potential
Did you say
pick,
they are or they aren't?
They are. So that doesn't look as bad, because if they don't convey the pick this year, it becomes two second-round picks. So that doesn't look...
And it's, what, top three protected?
Yeah.
Makes me feel better.
Except the Lakers will get another top three pick.
But not because of us this time, right?
We'll see. I mean, if it comes down to the Suns having to win over the Lakers to...
No, but I mean like not... they get a top three pick because they sucked enough to get a top three pick.
Right.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay, so let's then move on from trading. I'm not even going to say it out loud again.
To trading other players.
So, who do you think is going to be, if you had to pick one player to go? One player that's going to be traded off of the Suns, who is it going to be?
Everybody knows who it's going to be. If the Suns make a trade, it's going to be for PJ Tucker. He's got the most value from the standpoint of his worth to the Suns is less than his worth to the rest of the league.
Is that true?
I think it is. Because everybody wants the trade to be Brandon Knight because his worth to the Suns is, to Suns fans anyway, is minimal.
What are you saying about Suns fans, Paul?
I'm saying Suns fans are smart.
Ah, well done.
But his worth to Suns fans is minimal, and we just want him off the team. And the other guy whose name has been bandied about has been Tyson Chandler, who's been playing out of his mind, and I don't want to lose Tyson Chandler just yet. So, odd man out there is PJ Tucker. He's kind of blocking Warren's ability to really realize his potential, full potential, because you know they're kind of splitting minutes there, especially because you kind of got a pretty full front court. So you move Chandler, or you move Tucker. You allow Bender can kind of fill in those minutes at the power forward spot or whatever you move him for. Maybe you move him for a lesser backup small forward and hopefully some type of pick. He's a valuable piece to a contender. That's like what he is right now, is a valuable small forward to a contender like the Clippers. The Clippers would love PJ Tucker. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd want from the Clippers. Maybe we can work some type of three-team trade.
Could we trade for just J.J. Redick's sleeve? The tattoo, I love it.
Maybe. Sure.
Okay. Go on.
J.J. Redick's sleeve and Luke Mbamate or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. For salary considerations.
For salary considerations, yeah. We'll put that sleeve on Bender.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Actually, that would be sweet.
That would be badass.
But
then I defy you to tell me he won't be an NBA superstar.
Well, I still want Len to get all tatted up, grow a giant beard, and then we can call him the Soviet bloc.
Robert Swift.
I want him to look like Zangief from Street Fighter.
All right, I like that, actually.
Because it would just, the intimidation factor of the look would compensate for the mediocreness of his skills.
Wow, don't be mean. Len's been playing okay.
His minutes have dropped recently,
but that's obviously because Chandler's been playing so well.
Right, and his minutes have dropped, but his per minute stats are kind of comparable to Chandler. So, I mean, if Chandler does move and Len's able to take up, move into a full starter's role, I wouldn't hate that. But at the same time, I'm really liking watching Chandler put up 15 plus rebounds a game.
It is pretty phenomenal what he's doing.
It's just kind of sweet to watch it.
I mean, he's, like I said, this month 11 and 14 a game. Over the year, he's, I think, at something like 9 and 11. I mean,
he's the guy we want.
And he's 35, 36. Because that's super old.
Yeah.
That's totally not the same age as us.
No.
But after what happened last year, and everyone thinking, oh my gosh, what a horrible signing this was, yada, 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 I think seeing him have a bit of redemption is very, very nice to see. And obviously it's doing a lot of good for the Suns too. And, you know, when I look at this as far as the trade deadline coming up, what the Suns might do, who they might move, I obviously see, like everyone else does, a lot of value in both PJ Tucker and Tyson Chandler to other teams, but I frankly don't know that I would want to see either one of them moved at this point, because I don't think there's a player out there or players out there that I'm really stoked to get onto this team.
Well,
that's going to be available. I mean, if you tell me that Carmelo's available, I'm kidding, not Carmelo. If you
never
tell
Carmelo.
Me, never, ever, 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 Carmelo.
Didn't want him in Syracuse.
If you were to tell me, you know, that we could get Kawhi Leonard, then
sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, we'll move him. But
maybe Kevin Love.
Maybe Kevin Love. Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I feel like I've changed my tune a little bit, because I think it might have been our first or second podcast. I was like, I don't want Kevin Love. Well, he seems to have stopped sucking this year.
Yeah.
And I think it is in part because he's kind of stopped being like the butt of jokes in Cleveland, I feel.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, I'm just not paying
enough.
He found
his role.
Maybe I'm not paying enough attention to Cleveland, which, sorry. But he's certainly, yeah, seems to be adapting better and playing better and getting back to that old Kevin Love. But at any rate, as much as I enjoyed playing with NBA Trade Machine earlier and thought, hey, how about we get Kevin Love through trading PJ Tucker? No, I kept Brandon Knight, you know?
Really?
I don't want to be unfair. Just PJ Tucker and Tyson Chandler for Kevin Love, right? Come on.
Well, cause
the numbers work, but hold on. Well, you can get to calling me crazy for that trade if you
no,
so
I don't want to call you crazy.
But the fact of the matter is I think that PJ Tucker and Tyson Chandler right now have more value to the Suns and what they're doing for the young guys. Obviously, as Coach Watson had said, Devin Booker has started to play a lot better ever since PJ Tucker started defending him in practice. And no offense to Ronald Price, but I don't know that Oh, that'd be great if that was his middle name. I don't know that he's going to have that same effect. Maybe, and you mentioned earlier that second half of last year, perhaps that was kind of got Booker going on the ascension. Maybe you're right. But with Coach Watson saying it now, this year, I'd rather keep that in place, and I'd rather not see Booker run the risk of slipping back into where he was, at least until he gets that, you know, full level of confidence that tells him, I can do this, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to do this no matter who I'm practicing against. And then, frankly, for...
I mean, that 50.8%
right,
three-point shooting
just dropped after last night, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
okay,
that's
so he's
that's
like,
pretty
like
a
49.
Yeah, 48.2.
48.2.
I'm just assuming. But and then when it comes to Chandler, I'm assuming Len's learning from him. As you said, his per 36 is about on par with Chandler, and that's probably part of the reason why. And at the same time, Chandler looks super young right now.
Yeah.
He's got, what, 3 years left on that deal? Is that right? Two? Three?
Might be two at
this
point. I
feel like you should know all this,
two.
Paul. But regardless of what it is, does that mean that's the end of his career in 2 years? Maybe not. If he keeps playing like he is,
yeah.
You know? I mean, there are guys that can play pretty deep into their careers, and maybe he's found... Well, Coach Watson
found
was on... I don't know why I keep calling Coach Watson all of a sudden, but he was on Doug and Wolf early this week, and he said that he used that phrase, fountain of youth, and maybe that's what's happened here with him. So, I don't know that I want either one of those guys to go anywhere. But... My Kevin Love trade, you were going to say, you're not calling me crazy, maybe you
I'm not calling you crazy. I mean, I've been a fan of Kevin Love for years, and we've debated about this long before we had a podcast. With the makeup that the Suns team currently has, if we could somehow, I don't know why Cleveland would give him up, but if somehow in, let's say, Cleveland is open to a Carmelo trade.
Probably because LeBron's a punk, but go on.
Let's say Cleveland is open to a Carmelo trade, and somehow we swing in there, and we're the one who provides the young assets to the Knicks, and they move Kevin to our team.
So they can get Carmelo?
They get Carmelo, we get Kevin, Knicks get a bunch of young assets to build around Porzingis. A starting lineup of Bledsoe, Booker, Tucker, Love, Chandler... is a legitimate competitive team now. You have three guys in Bledsoe, Tucker, and Chandler to anchor that defense and cover for Booker and Love's deficiencies in that area. And on the other side, you have Booker, Bledsoe, and Love to facilitate and carry the offense. It's a very balanced starting roster, in my opinion.
If you keep all those guys, though, because you haven't taken anybody away from the Suns, so...
I would say giving up young guys.
So we're like, hey, here's, what, Tyler Ulis, Marquise Chris, and Dragan Bender?
No, here's not... I don't know if I'd give up all three of those guys, but maybe throw in Len. I don't know how it would work, but... I'm just saying, if there's a way... because if the Knicks are going to trade Carmelo, they're going to want to rebuild.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's the smart move, is build on a timeline that corresponds with Porzingis, which means getting guys who can play around Porzingis. Granted, Chris and Bender and Len all play the same position as him, so I don't know how well it would work, but Phil Jackson has done stupider moves
like,
than
I feel
that.
Like, I feel like I should stop you now. Do you want me to stop you, or do you want
to
keep going?
No, I mean, if you want to keep going. I'm digging a hole. If I keep digging a hole, I might get to China, and we can just bring back Yao Ming.
Yao Ming.
Or Yi Jianlin.
Dude, what happened to that guy? Like, he, like, played well for, like, I feel like eight to 12 games.
The Lakers?
I have no idea.
He was with the Lakers
frankly,
for a little bit.
I frankly don't care.
Yuta Tabuzi?
I'm pretty sure he's Japanese, Paul.
He is, but it's close
enough. Ooh, easy. Careful, bro.
You get over to that side of the
careful,
world,
bro.
You can get there.
Anyway, well, I'm now kind of wish I didn't mention Kevin Love and catch you on that tangent, although I kind of am happy I did. But, you know, I think that...
Not like
you know
Kevin
what?
Love's
you know what?
On
you know,
market.
I'm just going to say this right now. I just don't want... I just want... You know what? Let's just ride this wave. What has happened the past two times the Suns have gone through a rebuild? They've misstepped, and they've screwed up, and they've tried to jump into something too fast. And... that's why we're going through this for yet another time.
Question.
I'll give you an answer.
Would you trade for Tristan Thompson? Do you think maybe a combination of Tucker and Chandler for Tristan Thompson?
No.
Too much?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't see the benefit for the Suns long term in that.
I mean, he's on
he's
more
youngish.
Of the timetable.
Yeah, he's more on the timetable, but more he's also going to step into a role that perhaps some of our young guys that we're expecting to blossom would be stepping into. So he comes in and competes with those guys as opposed to mentors them.
Well, I'm just saying, let's say the Suns trade for Tristan Thompson, let Len walk. So then you have a front court rotation of Chris, Bender, and Thompson. Thompson is, in today's NBA, a legit center. I mean, that's basically what he plays in Cleveland. He's a legit center.
Yeah, but he's playing that in Cleveland next to a guy who is built like a freight train. He's going to play that in Phoenix next to two guys that are
built like
sticks. You when you went into college. And Paul was super skinny, guys, just for the record.
Super skinny.
Yeah, so, I mean...
I'm not now.
That's why a guy like Chandler and a guy like Len, I feel, have a little more import to this team. It's because they have more body. They can stand up physically a little bit better to whether it be centers or power forwards or whomever. And while, you know, a center, air quote center, because Tristan Thompson is... I'm sorry, but maybe I'm old school to a certain extent, and I'm like, I want my centers to weigh more than, like, 230 pounds, I don't know, or 215 pounds. I know, but...
Marquise Chris weighs 200 pounds.
Right, well, that I don't want him to be my center. But I feel like if you're going to have a center that is built out of that mold, you're going to need somebody next to him who's going to be able to hold up a little bit better against the stronger competition. And I mean physically stronger, not just basketball giftedly stronger. So, no is the answer. And again, I think if the Suns make a trade, great. As long as it's not that Bledsoe thing we talked about, because that's crazy. And I don't know why we talked about crazy stuff. Why would we talk about crazy stuff? That's weird. But if they don't make
crazy.
A trade, if they don't make... We are wild and crazy.
Crazy guys.
If they don't make a trade, I'm actually going to be totally fine with that. Because it seems like the youth, they're moving along, they're progressing, and that's what we want. And perhaps making a move would actually be more detrimental in the long run than it would be in the short term. And keep in mind, too, that apparently McDonough doesn't want second-round draft picks. And... Yeah, second round draft.
He's not Sam Hinkie.
And maybe one of those guys will fetch a first, but at the same time, you know, we can only load this roster with so many first round draft picks, I guess.
Yeah.
That are worth giving up. Like, it's not worth giving up for a late round first round draft pick, I don't think. Giving up a guy like Tyson Chandler or PJ Tucker, who
if you can get a late first round draft pick for PJ Tucker, I would take that in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't. Who's the last late first round draft pick that has worked out to really be successful for the Suns?
For the Suns,
this is
going to
be easy, actually. But go on. For the Suns.
For the Suns, you're putting me on the spot, and you know I suck at being.
Anyway,
you can tell me who you.
I think it is about time to wrap things up.
Well, I just wanted one last point.
Go on.
This trade season, to me,
it's crazy.
It's I would not be surprised if it's quiet, because the buyers, the contenders, and the sellers, like the Suns, the assets that each have don't really mesh, in my opinion. Like, what the teams that are selling are willing to sell, they don't want anything that the contenders have to offer for the pieces they're willing to sell. There are obviously pieces like a Chandler, like a Tucker, like a Dragic on Miami that could move. But what the teams that would want those guys have to offer, I'm not seeing the synergy in those trades. And I'm not just talking about from a Suns perspective. I'm talking about from the other teams. Like, I'm not seeing the trade from the 76ers to the 76ers for Jahlil Okafor. I'm not seeing the trade to the Miami Heat for Dragic. I'm just not seeing the trades there that the sellers are willing to accept.
And that's why, and I agree with you, and that's why I mentioned that it's crazy, because I think that something mind-blowing is going to happen. I think there's going to be a huge deal. Huge.
That's why these guys get paid the big
bucks.
It's going
to be a huge
deal.
I think there's going to be a huge deal that happens that is going to shake the very foundation of the NBA, if you will. But I'll probably be wrong. But I'm not usually wrong.
Who do you think would be the centerpiece of said trade?
Let's save that for next time, because I think we're just about out of time, Paul.
Agreed.
Yes, thank you. So we'll wrap up this episode of Bright Side of the Suns for the Fans by the Fans podcast. As always, you can catch me on Twitter at So Says Jay, and Paul is
at Dervish of Whirl.
And I will say thank you for listening, and until next time, good morning, good afternoon, or good night, depending on when you're listening. And yes, I know it's a ripoff from The Truman Show.
Hakuna Matata.